thank you very much for leading the worship today. Thank you so much. It's always good to come and be with you. And it's obvious from my accent that I'm not from around here. I'm not from anywhere around here. But it's always good to come and to share with you. You know, one of these things that I'm just slow on the uptake. I'm always slow on the uptake. Do we refer to this place as Twining or Twinning? Okay. It's one of those phrase, one of those words where when I say to people, I'm going to Twinning, and then they say, no Twining. And then I go, I'm going to Twining, and they say, no Twinning. And I never can. So it's Twinning. Yes. Yes. All right. Well, I'll make a special note of that so that I can tell people where it is that I come to. So, it is good to be here. Good to be here. I was asked to bring a bit of an update. Had a daughter that got married this summer down in Portsmouth, and to a fine Christian man, and she's 23, oh my, and now she's married, and we're happy for her. So family continues to tick along. I have a daughter, Rebecca, who comes by here one time a week to her down to Wales, to Newport. She's taking a master's in play therapy. Only she's trying to be trained to do something fun and get paid for it. But she's working to figure out a degree in play therapy. And Debbie's still involved in teaching English. The course they did on a Friday night has ended. But she brings these ladies into our house on a Friday night, and she teaches. Japanese and Polish and all kinds of different international folks who come and join us and learn American English in the land of British English. But at least that's a start in the right direction. So locally there, I'm still involved with the community church at Warnden, which is a section of Worcester. It's a housing estate. And working with Brian Mulliette, and he's the young guy that's actually in the lead. And so I get to say to him, let's pray, let's keep going. And then I go home and go to sleep, and he goes home and gets on his knees and prays all night because of the heavy burden of planting a church. He's a good young man. So I assist him. We do some DB Bible studies. We call them DBSs, Discovery Bible Studies. I preach for him pretty regularly. I'm there to advise and counsel him. And so I love that role. I love that role of investing in him. He's like 42, 43 years old. He's going to be here a long time. My days may be numbered, but whatever investment I make in him is an investment in the future and the kingdom of God. So I love that opportunity. I'm still involved with the organization that I've been with. I've told them I'm thinking about retiring, and so they keep trying to keep me going. But I still travel around, and I do mentoring and coaching and encouragement to all of the church planters connected with CMF in Europe and here in England. So like in the spring, I'm going to head over to Ukraine to travel and visit the various folks that are there. I'm trying to push that as late as I can next year in the spring because it is cold in that country. I'm telling you what, we think it's cold here. It is cold in the Ukraine, so I'm trying to put that back. Meanwhile, my son, who married a Mallory in October of 2017, they're expecting a baby at Easter. So Ukraine, baby, oh, there's all kinds of exciting stuff that's going on at this point. So that's a bit of what's happened with me. Perhaps that's why you've not seen so much of me in recent years. But I do think about you and pray for you. I was in Ross-on-Wye the other night, and I got hung up on the M50 when they shut it down. And I wandered through the countryside, and I thought of you. and I prayed for you. And I thought, I wonder if any of those folks live along here, if I have to stop and ask, where in the world am I? But I eventually managed to get home. So good to be with you today. I've chosen for today to look at a passage from Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And, I'm always amazed. I come in as a guest speaker. I have selected a passage. I don't really let people know in advance. I didn't even know until just the other day what it was that I was going to preach on. And yet, it's amazing to me how the songs, how the prayer, how everything that happens here this morning, the Holy Spirit coordinates. And it's like we met together 6 months ago and planned out the service for today so that the songs that we sang about honor and praise just fit beautifully with this text from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. So I'm going to read that for us, and then it's right up here where you can see it. And I've got a manuscript. In one sense, I'm tempted just to look at the scripture and just speak direct in that way. But that could mean we'd be here 3 or 4 hours. So it might be better. And I know you're gracious. You would leave quietly if... if I preach 3 hours. So, but let's look at these verses. We'll read these verses. This is the second prayer, big prayer, in the book of Ephesians, written to the people at Ephesus. The first one was a prayer that he says that is for enlightenment. Remember the first one in chapter 1? He says, open our eyes that we may see. It was a prayer of enlightenment. This prayer is a prayer of enablement. He is praying and he is saying, Lord, help us to be bold and enable us to be and to do what you've given us to do. In a sense, he's saying, I want to help them to understand they need to get their hands on your wealth and realize how vast it is and start to use it. So he prays this prayer. So let me read this to you. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Amen. What a tremendous prayer that Paul is praying, not only on behalf of these Christians, but in a sense, it's a prayer for you and me. Notice that he prays for their spiritual inner being, that the power of God will come to them through his Spirit in their inner being. He prays about their spiritual condition. You know, one of the things that we do pray quite frequently about are health issues and finance issues and needs that we have. And it's good when we get together as the body of Christ to pray for one another in our struggles and in our illnesses and in our sicknesses and those things. But thing that Paul prays here in this passage and in a lot of the prayers that he prays for the spiritual inner well-being of those that he's praying for. And what a glorious thing that is. What an amazing thing. And you'll see here what he's going to pray about when he says their condition, their spiritual condition of the inner man. But God wants to empower your life through the filling of his Holy Spirit, and he wants to be at work within you and me. And so Paul begins with this. Now he says, for this reason. We'd have to go back and look at the first two chapters and a half there to see what all he's praying about. But in this, Paul is saying this: God is the God of history, and that God has a plan for this world and for the universe. And the universe is not hopelessly out of control, as some think. Even this nation is not hopelessly out of control. God is sovereign. He's in control, and he is working out all things to accomplish his purpose. And what Paul reveals in this is that God has determined to work out his purposes through his Son, Jesus. That's the central point of that. In fact, in the first chapter of Ephesians, he says, before the world was created, God knew us, and he loved us, and he knew we would sin. And he provided that through his Son, Jesus, through the shedding of his blood, we might have redemption. And so God has this plan. And regardless of what other people might think, that the world is just kind of aimlessly rolling on, it's moving in a direction. It is moving towards the time when Christ will return and things will come to an end. And a part of that that we gather in these scriptures is this: we as the church have a role to play in that. It was kind of in that prayer that was prayed this morning. Twinning Village. Do you know what God has in mind for this village in regards to whatever the needs might be? To elderly people who can't get out, who feel isolated and lonely. To people with medical issues that cannot transport themselves to where they need to go. To children that are abused. To marriages that are struggling. You know what God's plan is for this village? His plan involves this church, this chapel. And so when we talk about this chapel and we talk about our existence in this world, in some cases we can feel like, this is the feeling I have sometimes, we're just hoping to survive. Not thrive. We're just hoping to survive. I've heard folks say, not here, I've heard folks say, we're just trying to figure out a way to keep the doors open for next week. When in reality, when we look at this passage of Scripture, Paul says, oh my, as the church, we are focal point for God working in this world to accomplish redemption for all people. The people in this village are going to know about Jesus through his church. And so you're working on a Christmas deal and getting the word out. You know, this is not in my script, in my notes. But I'm going to go ahead and say this. You know, I've gotten older, and I'll let you in on a little secret on how I kind of view each day as I've gotten older. I view each day as this way. I go to Tesco. My wife sends me to Tesco. She sends me with a list that absolutely I cannot mess up. I mean, it's salt-free, the whole sort of deal. But here's the deal. When I go to Tesco, I'm not there really to do the grocery shopping. I'm not there to do that. First thing I do, I whip into the car park, and I go clear to the end, and I go down, and I roll my window down, and I talk to the Polish lads who do the car wash. And sometimes I have them wash my car. and I know several of them by name. And I thank them so much for their contribution in our community as they work tirelessly to make sure my car is clean. And I bring in a really dirty car, but I talk to them. Then I go into Tesco, and the first person I meet is this great big guy that's the security guy. And I go over to him, and I chat with him. I know he gets probably annoyed with me because he's trying to do his job.
And I said, hey, I'll be shopping over in aisle 7 and aisle 12, and I'll keep an eye out for you if I see you.
And he cracks a little bit of a smile. I go through and I talk to everybody back in the deli. Two of them are believers, but they're not the ones that I'm really concerned about talking to. It's the other folks in the deli. And then I go down to the bread place, and you know they know me. One time during a World Cup match, I ordered 180 buns. They were mass producing them while I was standing there. And I brought them home, and my wife changed the menu. Oh, I was eating buns for a year. Well, anyway, but those people back there, they all know me. They all know me by name. And when I go to the cash register, I do that thing with this. Do you understand what I'm saying? In life, we can either kind of trug along saying, this is a task I got to do, and this is what I got to do, and this is what I can do. Or we can open our lives up and say, God, what is it that you want me to do today? I'm on your time schedule. Who is it you want me to meet? I have things to do. There's somebody knocking at the door. There's an interruption in my day. Lord, who is it that you're sending to me? You know, I don't know whether you look at life in that way, but I think if we began to look in such a way that this village in which we live, it's a wonderful place to get away from people, maybe. I don't know why. People live in villages. I can think of a lot of good reasons. But you know what? It's an opportunity for you to engage with the people around you. To find those people who are seeking, who are interested, who have never understood the Lord Jesus Christ, and to share with them. And Paul says, and so we're going to have to whip through this, but Paul says, for this reason, because the church is God's agent in the world to accomplish his purposes. Wow. I mean, that is mind-boggling. That is heavy duty. And so Paul says, okay, because of that, for this reason, here's what I'm going to do. I kneel before the Father. I'm going to get away from the notes. I'll just look at this and I'll just make some comments. That way we should be out of here at a reasonable time. So he says here, I kneel before the Father. You know, sometimes people say to me, I believe in the power of prayer. I know what they're saying when they say that. Actually, I don't believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of the Father who we pray to answer my prayers. There are lots of people out there that are praying. They're praying to wood and sticks and metal and all kinds of things. And those prayers aren't heard and they aren't answered. But you and I serve a God who is our Father, who lives in heaven, who invites us to pray to him. And when we pray to God our Father, then we can anticipate that he will respond and he will answer those prayers. He says in verse 16, I pray out of his glorious riches. Isn't that something? Have you ever thought about our Father and his glorious riches? That means he's loaded. I don't know whether you've ever had a relative. You ever had a relative that was loaded? Or maybe some of you are loaded. If you are, would you just introduce yourselves to me afterwards? I'll include you in our Christmas lunch that we have. But, you know, when I was growing up, we had an uncle that was pretty well off. So when he sent Christmas gifts, all those are the ones. I want to open that one first because it didn't always work out that way. That it was much, but there was the potential there because he had the wealth. He could buy whatever. So we would write to him and say, "Oh, thank you for what you got us. We were hoping for." revealing more of myself than what I should. But here's the point with God the Father. His resources are unlimited. And sometimes as Christians, we settle for so little when so much is available for the asking. And so Paul, with the boldness, he said, because of what the church is all about and because of who we pray to, God the Father, he says, I pray that out of the glorious riches, he will answer our prayers. We need to be bold in that. Maybe you don't want to do it in a public place where later when it doesn't happen, you'd be embarrassed about that. But we need to begin to pray with a boldness that God will begin to work and do things in our midst that we cannot even imagine. We set the bar too low, and then we regularly miss that. We miss that. What is it that God wants to do in this community? What is it that he wants to see happen through this church? Well, and he goes ahead. He says that he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. Now, he's not talking about, I don't think, a fresh gifting of the Holy Spirit. When we repent and we come to faith and we confess Christ, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he says here, he's praying that they might know and experience the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, he's already there, so what is he talking about here? That word dwell is an interesting word in the Greek, and I won't quote it. I'm not looking at my notes, but it's a powerful word that kind of carries the difference between living someplace and dwelling someplace. Let me see if I can tell it to you like this. When I was I came out of college and I was working for a small church, they could only pay me $40 a week. And even though that was many years ago, that still wasn't enough money to really live on, $40 a week. But so they gave me a home to live in with a family. That family had 5 children. 3 of those were boys. I got a bedroom with 3 boys. It was like being in a dormitory. I had 1 drawer that was mine. There was no space on top of the chest of drawers. There was no place to hang pictures or anything like that. When I would come home, and they got me a job at a meatpacking plant besides the church. When I would come home from work and open the fridge, there was food in there, but it wasn't my favorite foods. It was food that you'd have to survive and feed an army of 7 of us or whatever. I mean, the milk containers were gigantic and whatever. And when I got a raise, first thing I did was find an apartment and move out. Those people were very loving and gracious, but as soon as I could, I moved out. I moved into a flat. First thing I did was I got home furniture. Then I got a fridge, and I put foods in the fridge that I liked. I hung pictures on the wall. Now, you follow the difference? I lived in the other house, but I dwelt in this place. It was my home. It was a place where I could relax. And I think what Paul is saying here is that he prays that Christ may dwell in us in that sort of a way. He's there. He's living within us. But are we taking advantage of it? Are we making it his home, where we listen and hear what the Spirit is directing us, and then we respond in obedience to that? He says through faith. And then he says, I pray that being rooted and established in love, you may have the power together with all the saints to grasp. And so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Pray that you be rooted and established, built up. Those two words are two different terms. One's an agricultural term. The other one is a building term. And in both of these, what he's saying is this, that he's praying that in our lives, we will be rooted in God's love. If we try to love people in our love, our patience will run out real quick. We're working there in that working class estate, and there are loads of needy people with all kinds of conditions. I have to turn my phone off this morning because there's one fella that rings me about five times each day. And he doesn't talk long. That's good news. But he rings me like that. Now, how can you do those things? How can you do those things? Paul says the only way that we can love people like we ought to love people is for us to understand that our love must be grounded and rooted in God's love. You see, when our love is rooted in God's love, then there's no limit to it. We can love people. Even when they disappoint us. Even when they fail us. Even when they don't respond as we think they ought to. We can continue to love people because our love is grounded in the love that God has for us. Then he goes ahead to say here, I pray that this love will be established in you and you'll have power together with all to grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ. And how wide that it's all encompassing. Isn't that a wonderful thing about the love of God? I've never met anybody more than that I can say, oh, sorry, God's love doesn't apply to you. I've gone through your credentials here, and no. God's love is wide enough to encompass everybody. And it's long enough. It just goes on and on and on. He is patient, not willing that any should perish. And then how deep it is, all the way down to us. God's love came through Jesus all the way down to us. It's the love of Christ. And know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now, what kind of a statement is that? I pray that you will know this love that surpasses knowledge. How can you know something that goes beyond what you can know? I think what he's saying here is that he prays that that love will go deep into our hearts and our minds experientially beyond the academic knowledge of knowing, that we will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What an incredible prayer he prays. But the doxology at the end is the best bit. And I'm almost done. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Let me just unpack that for you. Let me ask you that in a little small bit so you get the full idea of what Paul is saying here in this doxology. A doxology is praise and thanksgiving that's offered to God. But let me emphasize it so you get this. Let me end by asking you little questions, little bite-sized questions. Do you believe that God can give you what you ask? Now, I'm not wanting you to respond out loud. You just think to yourself, do you believe that God can give you what you ask? Now, let's notch it up just a little bit. Do you believe that God can give you all that you imagine? You say, oh, I can imagine a lot. I can imagine a lot. Do you believe that God can give you all that you imagine? Now let's move it up one more level. Do you believe that God can give you all that you ask and more? Immeasurably more. Do you believe that God can give you what you imagine and even immeasurably more? By faith. But that's what Paul's praying for us. That we pray and we look to God and we believe that God can give immeasurably more than what we ask or what we imagine. That's incredible.
It doesn't rely upon us. It relies upon the fullness and the riches of God available to us. But then here's the last bit that I mean is a wild thing. You see what the next little phrase says? I got to look to see if I can find it myself. Work with me. He says, more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. It's already there. The power of God is already within us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within you and me. I want to tell you, that is a lot to take in. That's a lot to believe by faith. But Paul says, oh, that we would get a hold of that, so that our praying for one another as the saints and our praying to God would be at the level that we say, God, we are here in this community. You have placed us here. We're not in Warrenton. We're not in Worcester. We're not in Cheltenham. We live here. Show us what you want us to do. And we're going to look to you. We're going to ask you to help us. We're even going to ask you to do more than we can imagine. But you're able to do that according to the power that's already at work within us. Now, the last little bit gives us the deal on this. Why would God share his power with us? Why would he fill us with his Holy Spirit and give us this power? Last little bit tells us the reason. He says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. God works through you and me so that he can receive the glory for what happens. Not you and me. No. He receives the glory. And here's the last little bit of that that I just love. He says, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do you realize that what you are doing today, being the church, offering up worship and praise today, and that's a part of what he's given us to do, to bring glory to him. Do you realize the glory that we are giving to him today is going to go on through eternity, age after age? That what we do today, Jesus will take, and there'll be glory that'll be given to him throughout all eternity for what he does through us. May you be encouraged. I hope you are. I hope you are. I hope that your prayers will get a little bolder and you'll ask for a little bit more. And you'll say, you know, Lord, we believe that you still want to use us. And we open ourselves to you. And we want you to do more than what we can ask or imagine. Just work through us for your glory and for your good. May God bless all of us as we attempt to do that. We're going to sing a closing song. And that song is You Alone Can Rescue, 2658. So when they get ready to sing it, we can just rise and sing that song. Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.